59. All right, down. We're going to ask you some questions here. You know, we had a rebellion with Korah, didn't we? Remember what the rebellion of Korah was? This is a little tiny bit of review. Remember what that was? That's when Korah and his group, the Kohathites, some of the Kohathites, they rebelled against Israel, or against Moses and Aaron, and said that they weren't going to, they didn't want to go over from the patriarchal system to the Levitical system, remember? Okay? And Moses' sister dies in the wilderness of Zin. All right? I think that's number 10 on yours as you write it in. Number 10 on page 59. All right? Now, how did Moses and Aaron disobey God in obtaining water from that rock? We're capping off the whole first five books of Moses. Can any of you name the first five books? Who can do that? All right. No, page 59. Okay, it's at the bottom, not at the top. Page 60. Okay, now, what, it's a little bit different? Okay. Right?
Where did Moses' sister die?
Died in the wilderness of Zin. Zin, Z-I-N. Okay, that's under number 10. Okay, you found it, didn't you?
No.
Okay.
Page 61.
Okay, page 61. All right. Now, how did Moses and Aaron disobey God in obtaining water from the rock? You remember that, Brother David?
He struck it in anger.
What was he supposed to do to it? Speak to it. Now, this is very important because the first time God told Aaron to and Moses to get water from the rock, he told them to do what? Strike it. Now, this is actually, if they'd have done exactly what God told them to do, it would have been a type of the first and second coming of Christ. Great big parenthesis around. Pay attention now. It would have been a type of the first and second coming of Christ. The first time the Lord came, he was struck down, wasn't he? On the cross of Calvary. Okay? The second time he comes, he's going to be doing the striking, isn't he? All right, now see, that's different. So the second time, the first and second coming. So why was this so important? Why did God take their lives because of this? Moses and Aaron lost their lives because of this, didn't they? Huh? Disobedience. Because it was a direct type of the Messiah. They struck the Messiah. Who was the rock that followed Israel in the wilderness? Jehovah. They struck Jehovah himself. And he said, so they'll understand this is very important.
It's also
that
a type of salvation because Christ told them what to do. Moses, all he had to do is speak it, and then the living water would have flowed.
That's
out.
Right. That's right. All right. Numbers 20. Go to Numbers 20 now. Verses 25 through 39. We're going to just see this for just a moment. We're finishing up. And then we're going to go into the book of Joshua. All right? It's on page 303 in your textbook. All right? Page 60 in this other one. Numbers 20, 25 through 29. And it says, on number 12, it says, describe Aaron's death. Okay, that's what we're talking about. It's Aaron's death. Okay? We're describing Aaron's death. What does Aaron mean in Hebrew? What does Aaron mean? The English name for Aaron is Frank.
Frank.
The English name for Aaron is Frank. The Greek name for Aaron is Photios. Photo. Comes right out of the Greek word in English, photo. All right, now let's go. Let me ask you some questions, and maybe you'll find it. All right, a long time ago when they first started making photos, they had to have gunpowder to cause a what? A flash. Okay? And what is a flash?
Light.
All right. Aaron means enlightened or light. Okay? That's what it means. Enlightened or lightened. All right? Numbers 20. Brent.
Yes, sir.
Numbers, are you there?
No,
Numbers 20, 25 through 29. In Numbers.
Numbers. Sorry, I want to get up
to Numbers 20. All right, Numbers 20. 25 through 29. Are you there now? 20. Numbers chapter 20, verses 25 through 29.
Here we go, Jim. I'm sorry. Okay, take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring him up to Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments, and put upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there.
All right. God says, take Aaron up on the mountain, strip his clothes off, put his clothes on his son, and he's going to die there. Now, that's what happened to him. All right? Numbers 20, 25 through 29. So what happened? Because he had part in Moses striking the rock the second time, God commanded that his priest's garment be taken from him and placed upon his son Eleazar, and what? He died. All right. Now, number 13. Number 13. This is easy. Now, who became high priest? Now, Eleazar, Aaron's son. All right, that's number 13. Number 14. All right, Numbers 21. We can't go by this. All right, Numbers 21. What happens in Numbers 21, 4 through 9? Number 14 in your workbook. Numbers 21, 4 through 9. What happens over there? Okay, no, I got to let somebody else take turn, part 2. Okay. Numbers 21, 4 through 9. Are you over there, Brother Randall? Numbers. Okay. Numbers 21, 4 through 9. Brother David.
They traveled from Mount Hor on the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert?"
Okay. Now, God has given them a lot of a penal correction, hasn't He? All right? That means disciplinary action. A penal colony is where you take and you correct people, okay? He gave a lot of corrective action on these people, and they haven't learned yet. My Uncle Bill, the bad Bill, you know, in my family, you know, the bad Bill. Heard some of you heard of bad Bill. All right? He wrote a poem when he was in the second grade. He said, "The mule stood on the burning deck, the land he would not tread. They drew a halter around him, round his neck, and cracked him over the head." I'll never forget that, to get the mule's attention. To lead him off the boat, they drew a halter around his neck and cracked him over the head. God had cracked them over the head how many times? Now, did you saw Aaron die, and they mourned for him for about a month? But that wasn't enough correction yet. How many of you ever had to correct your kids? Where are you plumb out? Well, Israel wore God out, didn't he? So now he's going to correct them one more time. Another time. Now what's he going to do here, Brother David?
There is no bread, there is no water, and vegetable and vegetable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. And when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived.
All right. Now we have the fiery serpent. Did Jesus use this example in the New Testament? I'll give you an example, he said. Even as Moses lifted the serpent up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. All right? And what when the Israel... God didn't take the snakes away, did he? God hasn't taken sin out of the world yet, has he? But what did he do? He gave us an antidote. All we have to do is look to the brazen serpent. What is brass in the a type of in the Old Testament?
Judgment.
All right. Who bore our judgment?
Christ
bore our judgment. All right. He bore our judgment. Now let's go on a little bit further. So we have fiery serpent sent. The people complained against God, and God gave them a whooping. My grandma used to say, you're going to get a bad whooping. They got a bad whooping. Okay. Now, from the Bible, give the following regarding the second numbering of Israel just before they entered into the Promised Land. I'm going to go over this with you really quick. We got to finish this. I've tried to cover these first five books of Moses like I never taught them before. Maybe it bored some of you a little bit, but I got some things in there that I wanted down. I wanted you to understand this. You can't go any further until you get something else now. Did you know that? Sometimes you think you know it. But there's something you're going to learn when you pay attention. All right? All right, there's the 12 tribes now. A, B, C, all the way through M. The first one is Reuben that we have down here. All right? There was 43,730, and that's number 26 in verse 7. Reuben, what does Reuben mean? What does Reuben mean? Anybody remember what Reuben means? These names are extremely important. There's nothing in the Bible that isn't important. Do you know that? All right. What does Reuben mean? Reuben. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. What did I just say in Hebrew? Jehovah Jireh. Huh? All right. In Genesis, the 22nd chapter, it says Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh. Ray means to see. Reuben. Ray. Reuben. All right, what is Ben in Hebrew?
Son.
See a son. Reuben. All right, see a son. Now, Simeon. Now, remember what Simeon. There was a Simeon in the New Testament. He was also called Petros. Uh-huh. All right, what was Peter's name in the New Testament? He's called what? He's called Peter. He's called what?
Simon.
Cephas. That's the Aramaic for Petros. All right, and what is the other last name? Simeon or Simon. It means one who hears. Okay? One who hears. And then we have Gad. Gad. All right, Gad. By the way, Simeon was in Numbers 26 and 14, if you want to write that down. And it was 22,200 people in Simeon. And then we have Gad. There's 40,500 Gadites in Numbers 26 and verse 18, if you want to write this down in your book. This you may be teaching this class one of these days. That's all I got to say to you. I remember when I was taking this class in the seminary, and I have my notes. All right? All right, Gad. What does Gad mean? Remember what Gad means? Seer. Seer or fortune. Okay? Lot, fortune, or seer. All right, Judah. 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 76,500 men. 26 and verse 22. Numbers 26 and verse 22. What does Judah mean? The lion of the tribe of Judah. What's Judah mean? In the New Testament, we have the book of Jude, which should be Judah. All right? And we have the person in the New Testament called Judas. His name should be Judah, not Judas. Judah. All right? This is a very important name. It was a very common name in the Old Testament. What does it mean? Praise Jehovah. Praise ye Jehovah. And then Issachar. Issachar, there were 64,300 of them in Numbers 26 and verse 25. And Issachar means what? Hire or reward. All right, hire or reward. Bearing also. Now we go down to Zebulun. Zebulun. All right, Zebulun. Zebulun means dwelling. And you find that in Numbers 26 and verse 27. And 60,500. I see some of you writing these notes down. All right, number Manasseh. Manasseh. Whose child was Manasseh?
Joseph's
child. How come he's in the 12 tribes of Israel? You remember why? This is extremely important. Because Jacob adopted these two sons. He adopted Joseph's sons and gave Joseph a double blessing, so he had Joseph's sons were counted as tribes. All right? He adopted them. Joseph lost his sons because Jacob adopted them, but he grafted them into the promises of the tribes of Israel. All right? Manasseh means what? Forgetfulness, or causing forgetfulness. Why? When Joseph was in Egypt, he said, because I had this child, I'm beginning to forget all of my troubles and my worries. God is causing me to forget. All right? Ephraim. 32,500 in Numbers 26 and verse 37. 32,500 in this. Now, all of these are the men. Okay? These are the men, about 20 years. Oh, these are how many people that were out there in the wilderness getting ready to go into the promised land. Okay? They were numbered before. Now, all of those people died, didn't they? All of those above 20 years old died. Ephraim means double portion. Double portion. All right? When Ephraim was born, Joseph said, I've got a double portion of blessing, a double blessing. Benjamin. All right, Benjamin. What does Ben mean? Huh?
Son.
All right, we got part of it. Son, what? Benjamin, son of the right hand. Son of the right hand. The powerful one. All right? Tribe of Benjamin. Who in the New Testament was of the tribe of Benjamin?
Saul.
All right, the Apostle Paul. 45,600 in Numbers 26 and verse 41. Then we have Dan, the tribe of Dan. And Dan is left out in the book of Revelation, isn't he? All right? But Dan is numbered at 64,400, Numbers 26 and verse 43. And what does Dan mean? Judge. Judge. He's the judge. Asher, 53,400 at Numbers 26 and verse 47. And what does Asher mean? I used to know a guy by the name of Hazard. Hazard. That was his last name. Remember? No, she's not here. She could tell me his first name. His first name was Happy. Happy Hazard. All right? Happy is the name Asher. All right? Naphtali. 45,400, Numbers 26 and verse 50. And his name means what? Anybody remember? Wrestling. Wrestling. And then finally, Levi. As Brother Levi used to say in our classroom, Levi Montragon, he said, my name is Levi. That's the way you say it in the Hebrew, Levi. All right? Levi means what? Joined. Joined. Hey, do you like the new blackboard here? It's much better looking, isn't it? I'll put it up there today. Number 16. Who took over leader as the children of Israel when God took Moses' life? Huh? Okay, what was Joshua's first name? What was his name before it was Joshua? Do you remember? Anybody remember that? What was Joshua's name before he was called Joshua? Huh? What was Joshua's name before he was called Joshua? Nobody remembers?
He was the son of Nun.
Yeah, he was Joshua the son of Nun, all right. All right? His name was Hosea. Hosea. All right, Hosea. That was his name originally. And then he became known as Joshua. What does Joshua mean? Jehovah saves. What in the New Testament, what is Joshua known as? How does the New Testament translate his name? Jesus. Jesus. All right, Jesus. All right, or Yahshua in the New Testament. It means Jehovah saves. Number 17. What command did God give concerning the inhabitants of the promised land? When you go into the land, what were they supposed to do? This is very important. We got the same problem over in the Middle East today. God, because they didn't do this, God has plagued them ever. Well, no, they plagued themselves ever since. God didn't plague them. They plagued themselves ever since. They didn't wipe them out, did they? He said, drive them out of the land. Kill them. Some places they were supposed to kill all of them. All right? Why didn't the tribe of Levi receive any inheritance?
Because
Because their inheritance is God, is heavenly only. It's kind of like a type of ours. What are you going to leave in this world? What are you going to leave in this world?
Everything.
Everything. You're not going to take anything with you. It's very important that we go out and do something spiritual, heavenly, eternal every week, isn't it? Because that's all we're going to take with us. Those eternal things is what you're going to take with you. Now, they did have some cities, didn't they? How many cities did the Levites have in the land? They scattered them around. They had little dwelling, we call villages, where the Levites dwelled. They couldn't own the land, but they had the houses. It was 48 cities. Write that down. That's important. 48 cities. 4 times 12 is 48, isn't it? All right. 48 cities. They were the priestly tribe, the heavenly tribe. Okay, give the number and the purpose of the cities of refuge. All right, how many were there? Cities of refuge. What was the city of refuge?
Where you could go and people could hurt you.
If you had involuntarily killed a man, this is what we call manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter. They didn't have jails in those days, and they didn't have policemen. Okay? So what was a city of refuge for?
A place where they could go and have refuge from somebody trying to kill them.
That's right. Who was supposed to take who was supposed to take revenge if your brother was killed? Huh? Well, your kinsman, that's what we call the kinsman that would go out, the avenger of blood. Okay? Now, whether you kill somebody innocently or on purpose, you were in trouble. Okay? Innocently or in trouble. Now, among the American Indian tribes, they killed very few people. Did you know that? Back before what we call pre-white contact, they didn't kill very many people. If somebody killed someone in a tribe, that brother went over into the tribe and killed the other one. That's what he was, the avenger of blood. Okay? My family really showed a lot of that. Is my family, the Pauls in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma. That went on and on and on, boy. My uncle killed my grandfather. His cousin killed him. And then my grandmother's brothers killed him. Put him on the railroad track and ran over him with a train. Scattered him for 5 miles. That was the Avengers of Blood. Boy, talk about... That's the way it went. Avengers of Blood. There were 3 cities on each side of Jordan, by the way, so they could go there. The Avenger of Blood could not go into the city of refuge. What is the city of refuge a type of today? Everything's important. What is it today, Brother Dave?
After the church?
No. What's the city of refuge a type of today?
Christ.
Christ. Are we guilty of sin? All right, when the Lord saves us, how long do we get to stay in Christ?
Forever.
In the city of refuge, the person that died, or not died, but killed somebody accidentally. Now, if you killed him, if this first-degree murder, you're dead duck. All right, it's over with. I mean, you died. But if you accidentally killed somebody, you could go to that city of refuge, and how long did you have to stay there? What? No. What was that, Brother Randall? To the death of the high priest. Now just think about this for a while. We're set free. Jesus is like a type of the city of refuge for us today. And when this high priest died, they could go home. They were free. Because the high priest took all their sins with them. When did our high priest die? On the cross of Calvary. Are we set free? Forever. When we ask the Lord to forgive us, we're in the city of refuge forever. We're eternally saved from now on. All right. Number A, in 19, 6, 3 on each side of Jordan, the cities of refuge. And number B, they were for the man who killed another man accidentally in voluntary manslaughter. And number 20, the law was given the second time in common language. In the book of Deuteronomy, what does Deuteronomy mean? Deuteros nomos.
Second law.
Second law. All right? Moses was 120 years old when he died. How many, if you divide that by three, how many sections of his life was it? 40 years. Three sections of 40 years. Three means a lot in the Bible, doesn't it? Where man is triune, God is triune. How many heavens are there? Three. A lot. You see all this repeated over and over again. Moses was in Pharaoh's court, in the palace of Pharaoh for how many years?
40.
How many years was he a sheep herder?
40.
How many was he a knucklehead herder? 40 more years, 120 years altogether. Describe the death and burial of Moses. Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 8, actually 1, Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 12, and then Jude 9. Okay? So we want to go there. Someone go to 34, 1 through 8, and then 8 through 12. I'm going to have somebody else read that. Steve, are you over there? Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 8? Mike Neer?
34?
Yeah, Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 8. Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 8. Luis, are you over there?
Yes.
Okay.
1 through 8?
Yes.
So then Moses went up to the west plains of Moab and Mount Nebo and the head of the
Pisgah. Mount Pisgah. Mm-hmm. I've been there, by the way. I have been there. I have looked from that site in the promised land. He saw the promised land, I can tell you that much, from this site. Okay, go ahead.
And Jehovah showed him all the land, even as far as Dan. And all in the valley of the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah as far as the Hindu sea. And the south and the circuit of the valley of Jericho to the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. And Jehovah said unto him, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. I have left thy seed with thy own eyes, but hither salt shall not pass over. So Moses, the servant of Jehovah, died there in the land of Moab at the bidding of Jehovah. And then he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab over against Bethor, but no man had known the burial place until this day.
Okay. All right. Now, Jude 9, and then, Steve, I want you to read over there in Deuteronomy 34, 8 through 12. Just hold your place right there, okay? Deuteronomy 34, 8 through 12. And then Jude number 9. Jude 9. Moses wasn't safe when he was dead. Did you know that? His body wasn't. What? Are you there, Brother David? Okay.
Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee.
All right. Now, what in the world? Let's look at this one more time. What in the world does this say here? Are you over there in Jude 9, the Randall? Read that to me also. You read that to me. You got New American Standard there?
New American Standard.
Okay.
But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses...
Now, hold right there. The body of Moses. Now, who buried Moses?
God.
Jehovah did. Didn't you say Jehovah buried him over there, brother? That's what it says in Hebrew. Jehovah, the creator of heavens and the earth. This is the one who shall become. This is Jesus. This is the Almighty God. El Shaddai. Okay? This is Jesus. Now, he buried Moses. Now, what in the world happened after he buried Moses? Go ahead, Brother Ren.
Did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you.
All right. This is the devil trying to get the body of Moses. And so God sent Michael the archangel to protect the body of Moses. Now, this is kind of a type of us, too, isn't it? You know, when we're buried out in these cemeteries or burned up and stuck in jars or whatever they do with your bodies, they could dump you in the ocean. They could put you down an oil well. They could throw you in a volcano. And I guarantee you one thing, God's going to resurrect you one of these days, period. The DNA in those ashes, God is going to just... Anastasia, he's going to resurrect it. make it stand again. Without doubt. All right, without doubt. Now, he protected, Michael protected the body of Moses, didn't he? And whose authority did he do it with? Jehovah. By the authority of Jehovah. Now, let's go back over to Deuteronomy 34, 8 through 12. Steve? Deuteronomy 34, 8 through 12. And then we're going to be on the next page. And we're going to look at the book of Joshua here. Joshua. All right, Deuteronomy 34 and 9 through 12, I think it is. 9 through 12. Are you over there yet, Steve?
9 through 12?
Yes.
And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened to him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And therefore arose not the prophet sent in Israel like to Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses in the sight of all Israel.
All right. Is that the end of it? All right. Now, a lot of people say that somebody else penned those last words in the book of Deuteronomy. They could have, but you know what? I believe in the inspiration of the Bible. I think God could have told Moses what was going to happen and had him write it down. Did he write about some of the things about the second coming of the Messiah?
Sure.
Sure he did. Things that happened thousands of years before. Why couldn't he write down what was going to happen to him? Is there any reason why Moses couldn't have written that? No. There's no reason why he couldn't have written it. All right? He just said how he capped his life off. Hey, wouldn't it be nice if you wrote your own epitaphs, Sister Andino?
Oh.
Just think about that. He wrote it. He wrote his own funeral. He did. He wrote it. I believe that. I believe he wrote this part of the book. I don't think somebody else penned it. I don't think Joshua penned it or anybody else. I think Moses. Or Moses wrote about his life and about his death. Brother...
This is kind of like a big debatable point right here, because you believe that he actually could get the thoughts from God to actually do this.
Yeah. No. There's no problem with it.
Yeah,
there's no problem. You'll hear a lot of preachers say, well, somebody else coined this last part of it. I don't think they had to. And they write, and say, well, he said he was more humble than all people. Oh, Moses wouldn't have done that. Well, if God inspired him to, he would have written that.
John saw Revelation.
Yeah. John saw the book of Revelation.
John saw these things.
Yeah, he saw these things. God could have easily allowed Moses to write down his epitaph. There is no problem. I have no problem with it. You have any problem with it? I don't have any problem with it. All right. Now the book of Joshua. Joshua. All right, we got over there to Joshua today. Now, we covered it a little bit in the book of Revelation the other day, but I'm going to cover it just a little bit. It won't hurt you to look at this. Is there anybody here in the book of Revelation the other day that I maybe rambled on one? Okay. The book of Joshua and the book of Revelation are so much alike. Just think about that for a while. The book of Joshua and the book of Revelation are so much alike. The first part of the book of Joshua, let's read Joshua 1 and 1, and we're on page what? What are we on there, Brother David, when we come over to Joshua?
Chapter
63, page 63 in your workbook, okay? Who were the two oldest men who entered Canaan? Joshua and Caleb, okay? Now let's read Joshua 1 and 1. Joshua 1 and 1. Are you there, David?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying...
Okay, that's good enough. Here we have now, we got the book of Joshua now. The book of Joshua. Now, the book of Joshua and the name Jesus are what?
The same.
So we have the book of Joshua in the New Testament, and we have four Gospels about Joshua in the New Testament, don't we? About Jesus. All right? So we got the same name of Joshua and the same name of Jesus. What is the book of Revelation? What does that book say? What is the book of Revelation? What does it really mean? It's the what? The revelation, the unveiling of whom? Joshua. Or Jesus. Okay? Now let's look at the book of Joshua. Same parallel name, okay? We got the revelation of Jesus in the book of Revelation, and we got Joshua. Now, Jesus will take back his property in Revelation from the usurpers. All right? Now, we find all the way back in Noah's time that God prophesied that the inhabitants of the land of Canaan were going to be an evil, wicked people, weren't they? And that they were going to go in there and build the land up, but that his promised people would come in there, the sons of what? Of Shem. The Shemites would come into the land and they would possess the land. So he would take possession. How long is the tribulation period?
7 years.
How long did it take him to go into the conquest of the land? 7 years. Comprehend, Dave? All right. Gnosko? All right. 7 years of conquest. Both sides. All right. Now, trumpets were extremely important in the book of Joshua, weren't they? Huh? Are trumpets important in the book of Revelation? All right. Think about that for a while. They're judgment trumpets, too, aren't they? When Israel went around and the priest marched around the city of Jericho, what happened when they blew the trumpets? The walls fell down. Okay? All right. Now, think about this also. Now, in the book of Revelation, after the church is gone, God deals with people in different ways now. We have two outstanding witnesses in Revelation, don't we? What are they're going to bring judgment, but they're also going to do what? They're going to tell the story, the old story of Jesus and His love. All right. Now, we have two spies that go into Jericho. What was the job of the two spies that went into Jericho? What was the job of the two spies that went into Jericho? Let's look at it now. Pay attention. Okay, this is very important. You might call them two witnesses, not spies. What did they do?
They gave a report on what the land was about.
No. What did the two spies that went into Jericho do? Huh?
Rahab.
They witnessed to Rahab and Rahab's whole family. So the job of the two witnesses that went into Jericho was to save a remnant, the elect of God in the city of Jericho.
That was leading through the scarlet thing out the window.
That's right.
Okay.
How many people are going to be saved in the book of Revelation and the tribulation period? All those that believe, the elect. We know that, don't we? So who was saved? What was the purpose of the two spies that went into Jericho? To witness to the elect, which was Rahab. Rahab is a type of what? Israel. Israel. Where were the two in the book of Revelation? Where were the two witnesses killed? In the great city of Jerusalem. All right, let's think about that. Okay. The two witnesses. All right. Number 7. Rahab, one of the elect, was saved miraculously while judgment fell upon who? Everybody else. All right, everybody else. Number 8. When they went into the land, they ran into a problem. They had a guy up there in Jerusalem. He's called Adonai Zedek. Remember that? Adonai Zedek. We're running ahead just a little bit in here, but I'm just going to tell you just in a little way the way Joshua and Revelation are alike. The book of Joshua and Revelation. Okay? Adonai Zedek. What in the world does Adonai Zedek mean? Adonai, we know what that means. What is that? Remember that, Brother David? What's Adonai mean?
Lord.
King of kings and Lord of lords. Adonai, King of Zedek. Righteousness. King of righteousness. That's what his name was up there in Jerusalem. This is the king in the land. Now, in the book of Revelation, we have a false king, don't we? A false Messiah. A Antichristos, Antichrist. He is doing all the things that they had, that the Jews are going to accept him as a Messiah, aren't they? But he's going to be like Adonai Zedek. He's going to be a false Christ. Now, how does God go up there and conquer these people in these battles? We have AI, we haven't got all of that yet, but how, in this one battle there with Adonai Zedek, how does God conquer them? In the book of Revelation, how does God rain down what on the earth? Hailstones. Hailstones. Okay? What happens to Adonai Zedek and his warriors? God rains down hailstones on the earth, and the hailstones only hit his soldiers. Think about that for a while. We got a war out here now, and God sets these hailstones, and they were actually comets, is what these were. This is a comet shower, and it's really going down the earth. Now, here is God. You want to know how powerful and how omnipresent and how omniscient and everything that God is? We've got a battle out here, and God, thousands of years, millions of years before this, he has set these comets to come close to the earth, and we're going to have a comet shower, and when the shower of comets come down during this time right here, they're going to hit all the right people. Think about that. All the right, only the bad guys. Only the bad guy is going to get beat up by these stones, fiery stones falling from heaven. And that's what happened. And in the book of Revelation, we have the moon and the stars and everything all messed up, don't we? Over in the book of Joshua, we're going to find God changes the times and does everything. Many people think that the planet Mars got real close to Earth at that time, and that's when the day was lengthened. And this happened in history. This is really a historical event. Huh? Yeah, when Joshua went in there and he lengthened the day, when they were doing, remember when he lengthened the day? And a lot of people have trouble with that, but how in the world did God lengthen the day? Well, he did. All of the ancient calendars were changed at this time because of this event. What? Well, of course they agree with me. It's not me. I'm just telling you what the Word says. The book. Book is really important. You see all this stuff. All right? Let's go on a little bit further. Number 9. In both cases, the kings hide themselves in caves. They hide themselves in caves. In the book of Revelation, the kings hid themselves in caves from the great Messiah. In the book of Joshua, the kings hide themselves in caves from the judgment of God. All right. Now, that's just a contrast between the book of Joshua and the book of Revelation. Now, how many of you ever heard that before? Anybody? Okay, thank you, David. That's just one little area in which they're parallels, okay? Parallels. Now, on page number 63 in your book, we're going to look at that. The two oldest men that entered into Canaan were what? Joshua. What was Joshua's other name? Hosea. Hosea. All right, Hosea. Okay. By the way, Hosea means Jehovah cares. Joshua means Jehovah saves. Why do you think God changed his name? Because he was a direct type of Jesus. And Jesus is Jehovah saves. All right.
When Jesus came into the city, they shouted, Hosanna in the highest.
That's right. Jehovah saves. Hosanna in the highest. They accepted him as their king. It says there were only two men over the age of 20 at the time that left Egypt who did not die in the wilderness. And that's Joshua and Caleb, because they were the good. Don't get the 12 witnesses, the 12 spies that went in with the two that went into Jericho. That's totally different things. All right. So I know that's where people get them mixed up sometimes. It took 2 years for the children of Israel to reach the promised land the first time, and they could have done it a lot faster. But because of their disobedience, now how many days did they go out and spy out the land? How many days was it? Remember that? We're almost finished with the class today. How many days were they out spying out the land? How many?
40
days. 40 days. And how many, for every day they were disobedient in that land and didn't brought back a bad report, how long did they get to stay and wander in the wilderness? 1 year per one day. 40 years, 40 days. All right. They took 2 years, but they were 38 more years wandering, which had made a total of 40 years. And Joshua means Jehovah saves. All right. Now, next we're going to start at number 4 next week. Number 4. And we're going to look at this book. I'm going to try to get do you have any questions? Do you have any questions? Did you learn something today? And you recapped all of the first 5 books of Moses. Do you know what the first 5 books of Moses mean now? I mean, we went through that with a fine-tooth comb, people. I went through the Hebrew and read all of it from Hebrew and brought everything I could throw at you. All right? I hope that you enjoyed some of this. All right? If you don't have all these tapes, we've got them available. Many of them are on the website also. All right, Brother David, where are you?